itself. And I found too many times that particular exhibit was built for the donor that gave the money for it and the architects that got the award for it. That award-winning elephant exhibit is just such a case. But is it built for the animals? Does it help the animals? Is it the best thing for the animals? No, it's not. And that's what precipitates the foot disease, which Murray Fowler and the zoo veterinarians agree, if you read the literature and know how to look at it, it really does agree that that's what precipitates foot disease in these elephants. And it's painful. It hurts.
Yeah.
And it's a day-to-day nagging pain standing on concrete. Older elephants rarely lay down on concrete. Same reason I don't lay down on the floor anymore. It's a lot harder to get up. And,
yeah.
and the last time they laid down, they couldn't get up. But you take them to a sanctuary, and they'll lay down on an inclined hill and sleep in the sun. And then, because they know they can get up.
Oh, boy. Well, and I, you know, the bottom line for me is I can't see any other reason for breeding elephants in the zoo except money. Because baby elephants bring people in, according, you know.
Right. The bottom line why the animal's there to begin with is money. The zoos and circuses and performing animals, they're an industry.
All right, who was wanting to chime in there?
This is Catherine.
Yes,
yeah,
Catherine.
I just wanted to actually chime in. I've spent time with conservationists who've actually said, you know what, keep your, you know, if that breeding elephants in zoos doesn't help them in the range countries. In fact, one conservationist told me, keep your elephants here. We don't want your elephants, in fact. And this person was from Sri Lanka, and she said that we have, our problem here is that we need to protect the elephants that we have. In fact, you know, we have, you know, less and less space. And, you know, our problem is trying to protect that space and keep that for the elephants in order, you know, to conserve them. And again, you know, as far as, you know, conservation goes, I mean, well, Mel knows that we've spoken with, I mean, there, you know, some of the leading, world's leading elephant experts and conservationists and field biologists who all agree that elephants just don't belong in these small urban zoo exhibits because it's so detrimental to them.
Yeah.
Both physically and psychologically.
All right, you
and
guys.
So, yeah, and you're right. I think the breeding, you know, I think a lot of this talk about conservation and education, what it is, it comes down to marketing. And it's a way to market, a way to justify, say, breeding elephants, you know, in zoos, and especially at a place like Woodland Park Zoo where this high, you know, very high risk that any elephant born there can contract and die from the herpes virus. But, and it does, like I said, I think you're right, it comes down to money and bringing people through the gate.
All right. Well, we are way behind schedule here, so I've got to close out the last hour that's already passed and start the next one. Catherine, I want to thank you for staying with us so long. And let you know that for In Defense of Animals, you have a platform here on Animal World anytime you need it.
Thank you.
Especially now that you're dealing with local issues here. If there's anything going on that we need to know about, you can contact me through my website, which is MarthaNorwalk.com, or, you know, through any of our guests here that have my contact information. But I'd love to hear from you. I'd love you to keep us updated on what y'all are doing and how especially how we can help.
Great, thank you. And also, I just wanted to say, if anyone's interested in checking out, or I would really urge them to go to our website, www.helpelephants.com, where we have information about
helpelephants.com.
Helpelephants.com. Right.
All right.
And there's loads of information for people who are interested in this issue, both on our campaigns, but we have scientific papers on there. We have, you know, the latest news that's out. Lots and lots of information for people there.
All right. Catherine, thank you so much. Catherine Doyle, elephant expert from In Defense of Animals. Thanks for joining us, and we'll look forward to talking to you again on the air.
Great. Thank you.
All
Bye-bye.
Right. Aline is here. Nancy's here. Dr. Mel, I think you can hold on for a while, can't you?
Yes, I can.
All right, Dr. Mel, staying with us. We're going to close out this hour, start up the new one, and then we are going to be joined by Carol Buckley, who is the founder of the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee, and we're going to start to get into the good stuff now about elephants. Woohoo! Can't wait for that. Stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets. Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KWJZ 98.9 FM, Digital HD3 Seattle.
Been there, done that? It's time for a change.
Hi, I'm Rob Spears.
And I'm Brenda Michaels, and we're the hosts of Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference.
If you're ready to engage life, expand consciousness, and ride the wave rather than be bowled over by the incredible changes that are upon us, then join us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. on KKNW 1150 a.m. or 98.9 HD3 or ConsciousTalk.net, where together we'll forge the new human being.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk with Your Animals, now on Thursdays at 1 p.m. I take your calls and talk with your animal companions about anything you'd like to know from them. You can also talk with your loved ones, both human and animals, on the other side. Tune in to Talk with Your Animals Thursdays at 1 with me, Joy Turner. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the third hour of our first spring edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. Now, the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. Now, Sandy's on any a giveaway? Not okay. So the Robin Alexa Soul Spa giveaway is still available. We've had no one call that is actually qualified yet. So go to www.robinalexis.com, get your free membership to the website, and call us with your username and password if you're interested in a free year's subscription. 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569. You can shoot us an email while we're on the air to our live email address, which you guys are using. I have a wad of emails in my hands. We will get to these shortly. animalworldlive@hotmail.com. And if you need to contact me, you can do so via the website. All of my contact information is there, marthanorwalk.com. And I'm going to forgo all of the other stuff. We've got so much to talk about. We are talking elephants today. Why their zoos are not good for elephants, particularly our elephants here at Woodland Park Zoo, and why we'd like to see them moved to the elephant sanctuary in Tennessee. We are joined with Aline Fortgang, who is co-founder of Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants, is here in the studio with us. Let's see, Nancy Farnham, director of Sound Animal Rights, and who started the Free Bamboo campaign years ago. Nancy's on the phone with us. And
hi.
Hi, Nancy. And we also have Dr. Mel Richardson, veterinarian and former veterinarian for Woodland Park Zoo, is with us. We are going to be joined shortly by Carol Buckley, from the founder of the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee. Now, is everybody with us? Nancy, I know you're there. Aline, I can see, or Aline, I can see you. You're right here. Dr. Mel, are you still there?
I'm still here.
All right. Before we welcome Carol, I've got some email questions here. Some really good ones. Man, we've got some sharp listeners out there asking fabulous questions. Dr. Mel, question from Donna. She says, must an elephant be in estrus to be inseminated? Do they blood test to learn if she's in estrus?
Yes, they've been following all the elephants that they're breeding. They do regular hormone assays, and that's what they're doing. They're doing blood tests that are sent out regularly. They know they're looking at primarily LH, luteinizing hormone, and progesterone, the progesterones that they're looking at. And they know when the peak is right and when it's time. And what they do is they plan it ahead of time. So if they're bringing in Dr. Schmidt from Missouri or from Florida with Ringling, they bring him in, or if they're bringing in Dr. Hildebrand from Berlin, who's probably the best at elephant reproduction and obstetrics.
All right, now the next email, I thought brilliant questions, Gina, and I'm so glad you guys are out there. We'll kind of probably take this in stages, you guys. Let's see. She starts out by saying, I have seen several postings from Friends of Woodland Park Zoo elephants citing Woodland Park Zoo as contaminated and claiming that the elephants there are all carriers of some dread disease. Is this true? If this is true, then why on earth would you advocate moving them to the sanctuary in Tennessee where they could infect 18 other elephants? Who wants to take that one?
Well, but I'll be glad to okay. chime in. A carrier of a disease, it's a carrier of a virus. And herpes simplex in people is a cold sore. Many
right.
people have cold sores. The problem is when one of these viruses crosses over, herpes B virus and macaques, monkeys, gets into people and you die. It's very deadly in people, causes neurological issues and things like that. In the macaque, it causes a cold sore. So, I mean, you can have those things. The other situation is that the elephants, it's not causing any disease in a carrier, and that's kind of the definition of a carrier.
Okay.
So as far as I know, many of the elephants at the sanctuary may already be positive. So, I mean, the danger is in that young animal are an immunocompetent, meaning their immune system is naive and isn't old enough to. And then what does that means? A young person. That's why you vaccinate children. And that's why you vaccinate your dog the first year, at least if you, and then repeat it occasionally, because so that you can get that immunity up. So that, if it does, if there's no harm for sending them to adult elephants.
That's right. Now, Aline, you had a simple answer to this that was very understandable. So repeat?
Right. Well, at this elephant sanctuary, there is no breeding, so there will be no young Asian elephants there. So, and in the mature elephants, it's not an issue. So it's safe to send animals who've been exposed to herpes to the elephant sanctuary.
Okay, so if they were breeding back there and had babies, it wouldn't be so safe to send the carriers back, except that it sounds like many of the adult elephants that are already at the sanctuary may be carriers
right.
already. But
well,
but it doesn't, this herpes is not a fatal disease for older elephants,
oh, absolutely
only
not.
For the young ones.
Right. And the thing is, the zoo industry and circus industry is responsible for spreading the herpes virus by moving these elephants around for breeding purposes or for other reasons. They have actually caused the problem by spreading the herpes disease by moving these elephants in and out of facilities.
Well, and as Mel said before, it's likely caused because they started housing the two species together.
Right.
And this was a catastrophic, unintended consequence to that. And instead of admitting their mistake, and it was a mistake, I'm sure, but instead of admitting it, they're continuing to ignore it and proceed with breeding regardless of the fact.
All right,
and the fact is mm-hmm. that Woodland Park Zoo is a herpes-infected facility.
All right, here's the second paragraph in Gina's email, and I know that Carol is online now, so she's listening to us. Mm-hmm. So we'll get your guys' take on this, and then she, of course, can chime in about the sanctuary when we get her on the air here. But Gina's second paragraph says, I know the disease seems to be most serious in young elephants and that the sanctuary does not breed, but no one knows for certain how it is spread and if it could be harmful to older animals, especially ones that have long-term health issues from past situations like the ones at the sanctuary. And what if, God forbid, the sanctuary someday needs to rescue a young elephant from a circus or something? What happens then when it moves into a herd of infected carriers? Does anybody have an answer to that one?
Well, I think we should really ask Carol, has there been an opportunity to rescue a young Carol. But it's rare when any facility would give up a baby elephant. I mean, they're the big bucks.
Okay.
They don't
and
give
then
up
she the... goes on, and maybe we should save this for Carol. She says, on the other hand, doesn't one of the elephants at the sanctuary have TB? And wouldn't that be a danger to Chai, Bamboo, and Watoto? That's a good question.
This is Carol Buckley. I'm so happy to be on the show, and I'm really happy to...
Yeah, we will get to Carol here in just a moment. Now, the last paragraph of Gina says, I want to get this email out of the way, and then we'll bring Carol on. Also, on the subject of not breeding elephants, isn't it, this one, I think, this is a really good point. On the subject of not breeding elephants, isn't it natural for female elephants to want to breed and to have young animals in the herd? The non-moms act as aunties and help raise the babies. Wouldn't it be socially and psychologically healthy for the entire herd to allow at least a limited amount of breeding and births? The elephants at the sanctuary seem sadly deprived of this natural behavior, not really wild and free, but living more like elderly nuns cloistered in a convent. Now, I think you all can hold your comments on that. But it's my show, so I get to comment. And I would say, Gina, I know exactly where you're coming from here, and I hadn't occurred to me, but I'll tell you that is why I advocate spaying and neutering with our domestic dogs and cats. Because, you know, y'all, I talk to animals, and I know how they feel. And one of the great frustrations of dogs and cats when they are not spayed and neutered is they truly feel like they want to breed all the time, and it's a very frustrating thing. And being spayed and neutered actually makes them happier and more content, you know, living a domestic lifetime. Now, maybe we'll evolve out of that, and that wasn't a good thing to start in the beginning, but they're happier. We can't spay and neuter elephants. So anyway, we will get back to those questions. Before we go any further, though, I want to welcome for the to Animal World the founder of the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee, and the former president and CEO, that would be Carol Buckley. Good morning, Carol, and welcome to Animal World.
Thank you very much. I'm really happy to be here.
And now, you heard this email and so forth.
Yes.
Since you, I think, know more about the sanctuary in Tennessee than anyone else, because you are one of the founders, correct?
Correct.
And how long has the sanctuary been in existence?
It was founded in 1995, so we've been here for 15 years.
Okay. Before we go into any background, and before you forget what I read in the email, what would you like to say about all of this?
Well, let's start by the last comment about the idea that the elephants at the sanctuary living in a matriarchal herd are being deprived because they're
right.
not allowed to breed,
yeah.
And they would want to breed, and they would want to do the natural nurturing mothering thing that they do. When we started the sanctuary in 95, we were prepared to learn, and every year we're prepared to learn more and more, and the elephants are our teachers. And what we've seen in this 15 years is at no time have we ever seen one of these elephants display any behavior that would indicate that she is ovulating, cycling, looking for a breeding partner, no change whatsoever. And that's fairly consistent with the captive population of elephants. The females do not display a desire to breed unless there's a male around.
Ah.
And so it may have to do with pheromones and, you know, that natural situation that happens in nature, but it has a lot to do with smell. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to say these elephants don't want to breed. I'm telling you there's no behavior that indicates, one, that they want to breed. There's no external signs of cycling at all, and we see in these elephants a very consistent behavior pattern. It doesn't change.
Wow.
The idea that elephants, you know, really need to mother is so true. They're designed to be a matriarchal group that has a nursery and raises babies. And what we've seen is elephants being highly intelligent, very evolved, and able to figure out, come up with solutions to problems. They mother others in the herd.
Mm.
So you don't have to have a baby per se elephant, you know, by a year old. You don't have to have a real baby. You have an elephant that wants to be babied. Jenny was an example. Tara is an example. Those two elephants did baby talk, baby walk, baby act, and the other elephants mothered them.
Mm.
So in this way, even though it's not a natural herd with blood relatives, you have their needs being met. Their psychological and emotional needs are being met by each other in a way that is different than we would assume it could be done. So I would suggest that the only activity that these elephants at the sanctuary are missing out on is the actual breeding. That's the only thing that isn't happening. And if you've ever been around elephants in captivity that are in breeding programs, the first time any of these elephants are bred, it's usually not a pretty sight because the females are very resistant. And in a lot of the breeding programs, they actually tether the female and give the male access to her.
Now, does the sanctuary, Carol, do you not have bull elephants?
We do not have bull elephants. We are designed as a matriarchal community that's, you know, as close to natural as you're going to get with elephants. They live in matriarchal herds. Only young males live with their mom until they are no longer nursing or no longer needing their mother, anywhere from 6 to 10 years old. Then they leave that matriarchal herd and they will go off. So we are not designed for males, but we did bring in Ned last year. He only lived a very short time because by the time he came to us, he was in hospice care. And when we brought Ned in, we were fully prepared to bring him back to full health and then move him to a sanctuary in California that does take males. In the interim, when we realized he was not going to recover, that his health was so deteriorated that all we could do was just support him, you know, to the end of his life, which was just a few weeks, we had learned that he had been chemically castrated as a young elephant. And so we got kind of excited and said, whoa, you know, maybe, you know, if Ned survives, maybe he can stay here because he won't be breeding. And we thought, oh, here's a whole new area of knowledge that we're going to have to get, you know, get answers to of how would his presence impact the females? You know, even though he's no longer viable as a breeder, is that enough of a shift in who he is to make him sort of neutralized, you know, and not have a negative impact on the girls? Or not? So we were very excited about the possibility and also cautious about, you know, not disrupting the matriarchal herd. And that option, you know, never played out because poor Ned, you know, passed away.
Now, what I'm reminded of...
Yes. With this, can I add something, Martha?
Yeah, Dr. Mel Richardson.
Right.
Hi, Mel, how are you?
I'm doing good. And these elephants that are in that are at the sanctuary, these elephants that are in zoos, they didn't show up as viable adult elephants. They were brought over very young, 3, 4, 5 years old at max, probably. And they've been in an artificial situation all of their lives, some of them 30 and 40 years. When these females are looked at for breeding potential, what we're finding is, what the National Zoos lab is finding is, many of them are what they call flatliners. They're not cycling at all. And they probably, we don't know whether they ever will again. There's a great chance they won't. Elephants in zoos as early as 27 years are found sometimes to be flatliners, as they call them. In the wild, the elephants have given birth at 60 years old. Mm. So it It seems strange to me someone will make an argument, well, they can't go to the sanctuary because they're not breeding and it's an unnatural environment. What could be more unnatural than a zoo?
Right. Now, what I want to add to the mix here, because what this is reminding me of, the question about the elephants needing to be able to breed and all of that at the sanctuary, and y'all have done a great job of addressing that. I think what's missing in a lot of the evaluations on this level going on about animals is the fact that we fail to ask the animals. And it may be outside of the square for some of you, or maybe none of you, but here in Animal World, we do talk to the animals. I mean, I teach, Sandy does, interspecies telepathic and empathetic communication. We have some very gifted psychics and communicators that we work with here on the air, and so we do talk with the animals. And it is some of the information, particularly on a higher level, spiritual level, that's coming from the animals is incredibly profound. For anyone that's listening, if you have not read Mary Gettin's book, Communicating with Orcas, from a Whale's Perspective, some phenomenal information came through in that book. And in fact, Granny, one of the matriarchs here in one of our pods here, these orca groups, shared the fact that they can control when they come into season. They can control if they get pregnant or not. I think there is an innate intelligence going on with these animals that we don't recognize, and that this more and more will become part of it. And I just want to let you all know that we will be continuing on this line next week. The last half hour of next week's show, our Shelter Rescue Sanctuary show, Robin Alexis will join us, and the three of us, me, Sandy, and Robin, will be talking to the elephants at Woodland Park Zoo and tuning into the sanctuary to find out what they have to say. Now, I will tell you, we have done this already, and we have a good feeling about what's going on, and we know from the elephants that how they feel. But if you want to know from the elephants' perspective, please join us next week, because we will be learning from them, and it's amazing what the animals bring through themselves. And I hope that as time goes by, science will come together with spirituality, if you will, and recognizing that these animals have intelligence and can be communicated with, and that it helps to ask them. So anyway, that aside, Carol, why don't you tell us more about the sanctuary? Now, Aline has shared that it's 2,700 acres.
Correct.
And since you were there from the beginning, so how did this all get started?
Well, this got started when I met a little elephant named Fluffy. She was 1 year old, living in California.
Mm-hmm.
She was living in the back of a truck on display at a tire store. And that was the beginning of my journey. It's been 37 years, but during that time, Fluffy, who I then acquired and named her Tara, we...
What do you mean you acquired? She became your personal elephant?
Yes.
Hmm. Or did you keep her? You kept her in the backyard or what?
Well, initially, I lived on acreage, and I guess you could call... I say that I lived in her front yard. and we traveled with circus for 15 years. Traveled and performed in circus.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Tara has taken me on this incredible journey. And so throughout the time working in the circus is where I learned so much about elephants and how they're treated and how they live in captivity. And when Tara was about 15, 16, it was just no longer, it was impossible for me to create a healthy environment for her whilst being on the road with her. And basically it's because she grown to be so large and her interests had changed. And so I thought, okay, what can I do? How can I change our existence to better suit Tara's welfare needs? And I looked at the only other availability, you know, for elephants in captivity, and that was zoo life. So Tara and I spent several years, almost 5 years, going to several different zoos. And my thought was that a zoo would be a safe and healthy place for elephants. And both Tara and I were seriously disappointed, but again, gathered so much valuable knowledge through that experience. And so for since the time Tara was about 13, I started dreaming of this okay, this is what I want to do. I want to have a place for Tara so that when I'm old or if something happens to me, when I pass away, Tara is living in a healthy place that is good for her. So I started dreaming it. I actually started making lists. You know, these are the do's and the don'ts. You know, what it has to have, what it can't have. Can't be open to the public, can't do shows, can't do rides, you know, elephants can't be on chains, and just started making the list. So I dreamt this design, this dream in my head for about 10 years.
Wow.
And then in 1994, it just seemed to come now to a head where this was the time for it to happen, and actually the catalyst was Tyke, the African elephant, that bolted out, killed her trainer during a performance in Hawaii and bolted out into the streets of Hawaii and was gunned down.
Yeah, right,
that
okay.
was the catalyst because I knew Tyke. I knew her personally. And it hit me a little bit too close. It was too close for comfort because Tyke and Tara were basically the same age, sort of grew up the same way. And I thought, you know what? If I'm going to really protect Tara in the future, I've got to do it now. So purchased land, purchased 100 acres with the goal of creating the sanctuary for Tara. And so in this 15 years, the place has grown from 100 acres to 2,700 acres. We've rescued 24 elephants in this time. The facilities are fabulous and allow us the flexibility to have problematic elephants behavioral-wise or health-wise. We have facilities to accommodate everybody without exposing elephants to each other that shouldn't be exposed to each other. And it's because we have the amount of space that we have designed and set up the way it is and that we have the level of expertise. So any concern that that with disease, like
right, like,
herpes,
the, like our emailer said, what it does, isn't there an elephant at the sanctuary that has TB?
Yeah, and of course, she's in the TB quarantine area.
You have a TB ward for elephants?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, we have this 200-acre area with the two-barn facility. It is isolated and separated from the rest of the elephants and the rest of the sanctuary. It is a compound adjacent to the rest of the sanctuary, and that is our TB quarantine facility. It's called the quarantine barn. And so right now, Liz and her two best buddies are in what we call the Phase 1 barn. That's the isolation ward. That's where she's undergoing all of her treatment. And the other elephants have no access to her. The elephants that have not been exposed do not have access to her. And she has her own. They have their own caregivers. I mean, caregiver staff is separated out in specific to each barn and each facility.
Now, Dr. Mel, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Can elephants with TB, I mean, can they be treated? Do they recover?
Yes, they do. And it depends on, obviously, how severe and how advanced it is when it is found. But it is a problem in elephants, and there's probably a lot more elephants that are positive than we know. The standard gold test that the United States Department of Agriculture calls the trunk wash test is inadequate because by the time it picks up the disease, it means it's already being spread through the mucus secretions through the nose. So that you're finding it then. There's a better test, which is a blood test that's done that can actually tell you when the elephant is asymptomatic that the disease is there. And there is a regime of treatment that's had. I know the Rebecca, one of the circus elephants that came from I believe the Ringling people that went to the Paul Sanctuary in California. She was found positive after she got there, and she was treated, and she's shown negative ever since.
So it sounds like the sanctuary in Tennessee is doing what they need to do with these elephants, and that there's a possibility that they will recover and eventually could be back with the herd?
Absolutely. Misty is one of the elephants that was TB positive. She came to us TB positive. USDA confiscated her and brought her to us, and she went through her whole treatment. It's a year-long treatment, and she, just like Dr. Mills mentioned here, that she now tests negative for the disease. She was introduced, taken out of quarantine and introduced into the herd with the other elephants and is best buddies with Delory, who's from the Philadelphia Zoo. And so that there is, of course, there's a regime of treatment. that you need to follow, and if you do that, then chances are very positive, just like with people.
So the fact that there's TB there, you guys have got that base covered, and that is no threat to our elephants or any elephants moving into the sanctuary.
Not a bit.
And what about, Carol, would you have any concern about our elephants probably being herpes carriers, about them coming in to the sanctuary and causing a problem?
Well, you know, at this point, we would do what we always do, which is a health evaluation. Dr. Susan Makota is an elephant expert and actually disease expert with elephants, and so we're very blessed to have her. She does a full assessment of the health of the animal, and then we sit down at the table and we determine, you know, how we are going to manage this elephant or this group, or, you know, how are we going to protect if this elephant has a disease, what are we going to do? And because, again, we have so much land, we have an opportunity to section off areas. And when I say section off, I'm not talking about 1 acre. I'm talking about 300 acres or 500 acres.
Wow.
So we're able to create a separate environment if indeed the elephants need that. And that's what happened with the Hawthorne elephants. We brought in 8 elephants 4 years ago, 8 elephants from a circus all at one time. And that we created the quarantine facility for them because they had all been exposed to TB.
Wow. Wow. All right. Well, this, I think, is an appropriate time to take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the last time in the show. So I'm going to ask everyone to hold on. And Carol, I also want to let you know that we were getting some wonderfully supportive emails directly to you. Lots of love and gratitude and support from listeners today for the work that you're doing with the elephants and at the sanctuary. So I wanted to pass that on to you. Now, we will take care of our advertisers and sponsors, and then we will come back with our guests. We're going to listen to some good stories that Carol can tell us about the elephants, and we'll get into what you can do to help besides just going to that website that Catherine Doyle from In Defense of Elephants, www.helpelephants.com. So we'll find out what else we can do, especially for our local elephants here. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now, it's always worth a trip to Jones & Company up in Marysville, because they've generally got everything but the kitchen sink on sale. Fabulous deals. I also want you to join their preferred customer club. Get your card because it keeps track of what you spend, and then you get discounts along the way, and you get free dry and canned food depending on what you buy. So check them out. You'll find them on State Street in Marysville. You can go to the Animal World website, MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on the Jones & Company logo on the homepage. That will take you to their website, and you can find out ahead of time what's on sale. And if you want to, you can give them a call at 360-658-7817. That's 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Call karma specialist and metaphysical mother Robin Alexis for your free on-air readings, Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Psychic medium Robin Alexis helps countless people to live fuller and more conscious lives on Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. Call Wednesdays for your free on-air readings and hear rebroadcasts of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Thursdays at 8 p.m. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
The Gary Mance Show, it's the home of mastery and mystery.
Michael Merritt will tell us how he redesigned his life and how we can redesign ours at 7 p.m. Sunday.
And at 8 o'clock, numerologist Ed Peterson shows us how life can be a piece of cake if you know how to do the math.
Can you say bonus hour? At 9 p.m., we will have Lynn Keetai talking about the Phoenix Lights. If UFOs are your passion, this bonus hour is a must.
Saucer Junkies, 3 hours of mastery and mystery. The Gary Mance Show, Sunday at 7 Pacific.
For over a decade, In Clover has made quality natural supplements so that age 10 may become the new 6 for your dog or cat, living a vibrant, active, healthy life. In Clover uses the best of science to design supplements for wellness that work and work fast. Dogs showed significant improvement within 15 days of starting Connectin. In Clover's fast, all-in-one joint supplement. Connectin's 9 natural herbs work synergistically to further support joint health. InClover's products are made in the USA with only the finest ingredients. Go to InClover.com to find a retailer near you.
Robin Alexis has channeled a new energy portal called the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal, and she's created the Robin Alexis Online Soul Spa. Visit her website, robinalexis.com, for details on how to get a free month subscription to her online soul spa. You can check out the Soul Spa on her website, robinalexis.com, by clicking on the large button on the right side of the website that says Reiki Healing Soul Spa. Click here to visit. This Soul Spa is like having a healing sanctuary anywhere you have a computer and can be used at work or while traveling. Your free subscription to Robin's online Soul Spa will include copies of Robin's 2 ebooks, a special rate for Robin's one-on-one phone sessions, access to the priority forum for subscribers only to read and post info, and a calendar for subscribers only to learn about Robin's special meditation events for subscribers only. Check out the free trial subscription to Robin's online Soul Spa at robinalexis.com today.
Don't touch that dial. You might miss something life-changing. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're winding down this week's edition of Animal World. Want to thank you all for spending your Sunday morning with us, and we hope you do it every Sunday morning. We're here 9 a.m. to noon on Alternative Talk, AM 1150, talking about the elephants, particularly those at Woodland Park Zoo, and why we think it's important to move them to the sanctuary. Aline Fortgang, friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants, is here in the studio. Nancy Farnham is on the phone with us. Dr. Mel Richardson, a former veterinarian for Woodland Park Zoo, is on the line, and Carol Buckley, the founder and former president and CEO of the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee, is also here. I'm going to turn it over to Aline right now because she's got some questions for Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. The elephants, the three girls here at Woodland Park Zoo, all three of them exhibit stereotypical behaviors. And I'm wondering if we should be so lucky to have Woodland Park Zoo make the humane decision to let them go to the sanctuary. What could we expect? Would they lose that behavior?
You're talking about the neurotic type behaviors.
The neurotic, repetitive.
The bouncing and the
the pacing, the head rocking,
the
head swelling.
All that kind of stuff. Okay.
Yeah, all three of them exhibit this behavior.
Well, what we've seen at the sanctuary is that most elephants, I won't say all because there are two that have come, two of 24 when they arrived did not exhibit that neurotic behavior. Mm. And what we've learned is it's all individual. Their recovery from their trauma is individual. Their personalities have a lot to do with how quickly they transition from a very restricted lifestyle to the freedom that they have here. But we noticed that the number one cause of the elephants exhibiting that swaying and head bobbing behavior is having their movement restricted. And this is even if the movement is restricted by a choice that they made. And what I mean by that is, let's say in the wintertime it's 10, 11 o'clock at night and the temperature has dropped and the barn is warm and they want to go in the barn. They have a choice to go in the barn or stay out. The door is open always. They can come and go. But they choose to go, if they choose to go in the barn, that is like it is their choice, but we may find them swaying in the barn because the space is restricted. Mm. And it's still a captive environment. So although we see the duration of the atypical swaying and bobbing behavior reduced, seriously reduced. I don't know that it will ever be wiped out because they are in a captive environment. I will say that the majority of the elephants never exhibit that behavior outside in the habitat, ever. And because they spend such little time inside their barn, it really, for months on end, from the end of March until November, they'll be outside 24/7, and they're out exploring in their habitat and keeping themselves busy, keeping their mind busy. And it's really that boredom, that physical and psychological boredom, that causes them to fall into that atypical, repetitive, neurotic behavior.
Now, Carol, earlier in the show, Dr. Mel said that elephants need dirt. Do the elephants at the sanctuary have dirt?
The elephants at the sanctuary have a wide variety of substrate, including dirt. And if they want dirt, they're in an environment where that if they want dirt, they can actually dig through the grass or the leaves on the ground, and they will get to dirt. So dirt is substrate. Substrate is the key for elephants. Not only do they utilize it to throw on their bodies to protect their skin from biting insects and sunburn, digging in the dirt helps to wear away the necrotic tissue on their foot pads and trims their nails down naturally. The activity is good for joint flexibility. And, I mean, it's just substrate and their involvement in their environment is one of the most obvious natural behaviors of elephants. When you watch them in a natural situation, you see them continually involved in their habitat, manipulating their habitat, pushing trees over, digging in the dirt, wallowing in a mud hole, all of that. And so it's not just the dirt they need. They need a whole variety of substrate.
And I would assume that you see them moving around all of those acres on a regular basis, that they don't just stay in one place.
They put in miles every day. And again, it's individual as well. There are some elephants like Tara who never stop. I mean, she's just all over the place all the time. That's who she is. Hmm. Jenny was the same way. Minnie's the same way. Then you have others like Liz and Frida and Billy that are more comfortable utilizing less area. Mm. And but they're still utilizing their habitat. They're still grazing and foraging and, you know, acting as a natural elephant instead of the unnatural behavior of standing in one spot and just swaying.
Wow. Mm. So anything else you wanna ask, Aline?
Well, I guess the educational value of seeing elephants in zoos. I mean, that's what zoos say, that it's, you know, if you take out the elephants, then kids won't care about them and won't, you know, be concerned about their conservation. Have you been, you know, what's your opinion on that?
Well, you know, this is one of the defenses that zoos have about keeping elephants in captivity. And going back to, say, 16 years ago when Tara was still on exhibit in a zoo, I would sit out there as the viewing public would come by to see Tara, and they asked two questions. One, does she give rides? Two, does she do tricks?
Mm.
And it was so frustrating because when people come to a zoo, they come to be entertained. They don't necessarily come to be educated. And so it is quite a challenge for any institution to be able to educate people. But my concern is, what are we teaching them?
Mm-hmm.
Here is an animal that's in an unnatural environment, acting in unnatural ways, and that is what we're teaching people. So my sense is that if zoos had succeeded in instilling a real desire in people for conservation, mm-hmm. for elephants or any animal, if they had succeeded, then we wouldn't see what's happening in Asia and Africa now. We would not be seeing that situation. The elephants would be protected, and we also would no longer see elephants living in deprived environments in zoos because people would care so much because they had learned so much that the elephants wouldn't be living like that anymore.
We also wouldn't see them in circuses.
Oh. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and I would just like to say to Carol that this is Nancy speaking.
Thank you, Nancy.
That you've really inspired me to continue persevering in this campaign because you have provided an example to attain and of returning their lives back to the elephant.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, it's wonderful to see people sticking to their beliefs, working, you know, and sticking to their beliefs. And that's what you have to do. It just takes a lot of time. And I'll just give you one example. Bunny. Mm-hmm. Sweet Bunny mm-hmm. that lived at the Mesker Park Zoo. And she arrived at her zoo at about a year old. She was there for 44 years. They adored her. The community adored her. She lived in a very deprived environment, a tiny yard, concrete. She was, you know, kept inside the barn every night and fairly overprotected to the point that, you know, they wouldn't even let her experience nighttime outside because they thought that they were protecting her. It took me 5 years to educate the management so that they finally recognized that their elephant would benefit from the move to the sanctuary. And when they finally moved her to the sanctuary, they were frightened. They were afraid that, one, she would, you know, not do well in the trip, that she'd die of a heart attack before she even got to the sanctuary. And then once she got to the sanctuary, she'd be rejected because she hadn't been around other elephants. And it was not at all what they feared. And immediately, and Bunny is what was unusual, but immediately, Bunny, when she arrived, she came right into the barn. She looked around. The other elephants were allowed in. She introduced herself to all the elephants, went outside. She led the other elephants a half a mile down through the pasture and went into the pond. And that's the first time she'd been in a pond for how many decades? Who knows?
So she just thank you very much, moved right in.
Yes, she did. And she spent 10 glorious years at the sanctuary. She enjoyed every minute of her life here, bonded with the other elephants, no problem. Jenny, Shirley, and Tara were best friends with
and
Bunny.
And what was your
nickname for
Bunny, Carol?
Say that again?
What was your nickname for Bunny?
Nickname? I don't know that I had. Oh, I just called her Bunzer.
I thought you referred to her as the Nature Girl.
Well, that's what everybody called her, was the Nature Girl. But see, actually, she was our invisible elephant.
Uh-huh.
Because she is the one that would go up into the woods and stay out of camera range. So when we were doing Ellicam, and the people, the fans who would be watching the Ellicam that streams on our website, would say, oh, there's Shirley, and there's Jenny, and there's Barbara, and there's Tar. Where's Bunny? And we'd say, well, she's always out of camera range, you know?
What is that website, by the way, Carol?
It's www.elephants.com. That's elephant plural.
Elephantsplural.com?
Right.
And is it true that the sanctuary has said that they would pay for the transport of our Woodland Park Zoo elephants so it wouldn't cost the zoo anything to send them to the sanctuary?
That is our policy at the sanctuary. That's always been the sanctuary's policy.
Oh, for it's any just, elephants, not just
for
ours.
For any elephant.
Ah.
Every and any elephant. Every elephant of every 24 elephants we've rescued, we've never charged a penny, and we've always paid all of the costs.
Well, how fabulous is that? Mm-hmm. All right, so in our last few minutes that we've got here, folks, people want to know what they can do to help the animals on a bigger picture, I mean, all the elephants, but also what they can do to help our Woodland Park Zoo elephants. So maybe, Carol, on a big basis, overall, what can people do to help the elephants?
Well, elephants in general,
just
keep yourself apprised of what the status is of elephants in captivity. When there's an urgent appeal for you to respond, study up on the issue, study up on the elephant, contribute, you know, your name and your voice to that effort. And, of course, on an international level, make yourself aware of really what's happening, you know, in the ivory trade and land encroachment in Asia for elephants. And now currently in India, it's now they're moving all of their zoo elephants out, and they're going to be creating semi-wild environments. And they've also, in some parts of India now, it's illegal to use an elephant hook.
Now, and speaking of international and the ivory trade, there's the, you know, convention going on that, and they were going, there were some, I don't know who it is, that was going to try to get the ban on ivory trade lightened or something. Have you heard what's happened with that?
I'm not up to date on that, but I do have emails that came in today that suggest something has been determined, but I don't know yet.
Yeah, I haven't been able to. I know that it's on the table, but I haven't heard
right.
yet. Well, maybe we'll hear. I'll have it for you in the news.
The last thing I read is that it's not looking hopeful. Mm-hmm. But so we
That's
will have to.
That's what I read too.
Yeah, so we'll have to just keep on that. It's a very sad situation.
All right. Now, Carolyn Doyle from In Defense of Animals gave us a website generally to help elephants, and that's www.helpelephants.com. We've got the Elephant Sanctuary website, which is www.elephants.com. And then, Aline and Nancy, what can local people do here to support the effort to move our Woodland Park Zoo elephants to the sanctuary?
Well, we have, of course, a link on our website.
And our website is what?
Well, you can Google Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants. That's one way. But the easiest way to get to our website is just to Google NARN, which rhymes with barn.
N-A-R-N.
N-A-R-N, NARN. And as soon as you get to NARN's website, you'll see the elephant icon, and that will take you directly to us. And,
okay.
Of course, we have a link on there, what you can do to help. We are looking for volunteers. We desperately need volunteers to bring awareness to the public in Seattle. I mean, unfortunately, people just don't realize what's going on, and they would probably be incredulous if they did learn. So, you know, we have to work hard at bringing awareness to the people of Puget Sound. So we are looking for volunteers to hand out kid-friendly flyers. We're looking for someone who can write kid-level, you know, literature. We are also looking for people to help with banner drops all summer long. And if there are any educators out there, we'd like to talk with you. So if you could go to our website, just go to NARN and then click on the elephant icon. You can get in touch with us there.
Now, for someone that wants to volunteer that does not have internet access, because we do have those listeners, is there a phone number they can
Absolutely.
Call?
Absolutely. 206
206
595
7770. So 206-595-7770 if you'd like to volunteer and help the Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants. And let's see, Carol Buckley, the founder of the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee, thank you for spending time with us today. And is there anything you'd like to say before you leave us?
Well, thank you. It's been a real pleasure. I just wanted to give you a heads up, listeners a heads up, that I do have a website as well. It's www.carolbuckley.com. And so I encourage listeners to check in, leave a comment, and follow along as I pursue now an expansion of my career internationally.
And may I add, to see that picture on your homepage is a treasure.
Oh, it's a fabulous,
it's a treasure
on the website. And Carol, thank you for taking time being with us. And I want you to know that you have a platform here anytime you want it.
Wonderful, thank you.
So you let me know, and I'd love to do a whole show with you, sometime in the future about your work with elephants and all that good stuff. So
fabulous.
Be in touch anytime.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, Carol Buckley, thank you for being with us. And Dr. Mel Richardson, former veterinarian from Woodland Park Zoo, thank you for spending time with us today. And anytime you've got something to tell us about the animals, please be in contact. You've got a platform here as well.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
All righty. And Nancy Farnham, Aline Fortgang, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Google NARN, N-A-R-N. Click on the elephant icon. You can find out how to help the local efforts here. And then remember, next week, Shelter Rescue Sanctuary, anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. And the last half hour, Robin Alexis is here. Robin, Sandy, and I will be talking directly to the animals of Woodland Park Zoo. We'll tune into the sanctuary and find out how they all feel about this. So if you want to hear the elephant's perspective, be here next week. And guess that's it. Thank you, Aline. Appreciate it so much. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Sandy. And as always, let me remind you, animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to, open your heart, and share your love with all living things. And I'll talk to you again next week.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers.